إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, there is a wonderful story from Motorola. That Motorola outsourced pagers to a Japanese company, manufacturer of pagers. So Motorola was on this quality system called Six Sigma, and I'll explain to you why I'm talking about Six Sigma. So they called the Japanese people and they outsourced this thing, and they had a meeting and they emphasized the importance of quality. And they said to them that we operate on Six Sigma, and Six Sigma is a quality standard which is 3.4 mistakes per million, and therefore the quality of pages they supply should be to this quality. So anyway, the Japanese went away, and when the consignment came, there was a big package and then there was a small package. So when they opened it, they said, "What is this, two packages?" So when they opened the big package, they found the pagers, everything absolutely perfect. And when they opened the small package, they found four pagers in it which were defective. So they asked them, "What is this? Why did you send these defective pages?" They said, "Because you told us you want 3.4 mistakes per million, because we don't make mistakes. But since you want 3.4 mistakes, we made the mistake for you." The point I'm making is that quality assurance is the measurement of defects. The principle in quality, this guy who created his model of Six Sigma Motorola, his name is Michael Harry. And Michael Harry has a very, very nice statement which we can apply to our lives in every aspect of life. Michael Harry says, if you want to see what someone values, see what they measure. He said, if you want to see what someone values, see what they measure. We like to say time is money, but that's rubbish, because we measure money, but we don't measure time. If you lose a small denomination note, I mean, even if you lose a 10 rupee note or a 100 rupee note, you feel something about it. You feel some sense of loss. Oh, I lost my... Although, it won't kill us. But how much time do we just spend? We have no clue where the time went. And when I do my time management, life management exercise, the thing I ask people to do is to write a diary of how did you spend yesterday? Actually write a time log. And you find huge big blocks of blank space because you have no clue. You don't remember. Even yesterday what happened, you have no idea because you are not conscious of it. So time is not money. Although time is a depreciating asset, it doesn't come back. But we don't have any value for it. So the point I'm making here is, with regard to Ihsan, which we spoke about yesterday, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the famous hadith where he mentioned the question of slaughtering, he said, "Katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay." He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written ihsan for every single thing. And he said, even if you are slaughtering an animal, do it with ihsan. So sharpen your knife and so on, and ensure that there is no pain or least pain to the animal which you slaughter. So even in something like slaughtering an animal, practice ihsan. As I mentioned yesterday, the famous hadith Jibreel, in which Jibreel alayhi salam came and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a series of questions. And the question he asked him about ihsan, and he asked him to say, what is ihsan? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's famous response, where he said, "Antabudallaha ka'annaka tara fa illam takum tara fa innahu yarak." He said to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see him. And if you cannot see him, you know that he sees you. Now, we have unfortunately restricted this only to Salah. And I don't know whether even there we practice it, but anyway, we at least translate it to mean only Salah. Whereas, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Katab al-ihsana ala kulli shay." Allah has written ihsan for everything, not only Salah. So, then why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give the example of Salah? Because this was his way. Rasulullah ﷺ used to express anything of importance that he wanted to say. And this was also the way of the Sahaba. he would explain that in terms of Salah. So, because Salah was the primary, the most important thing in their lives, and it should be also in our lives. And so therefore, they made everything in terms of Salah. For example, Rasulullah ﷺ nominated Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu as his successor. He didn't write a note, he didn't write a document, he didn't call people to witness. He only made Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu the Imam of Salah. And for 6 days, from Wednesday or Thursday all the way up to Monday when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, with the hukum of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, led Salah. To the extent that one of those salawat, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was not there, so the muezzin, he asked Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to lead Salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sick. He was in his room and he heard the voice of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he called somebody and he said, who told Umar to lead Salah? He said, Allah and his Nabi do not want Umar to lead Salah. Call Abu Bakr. Now Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was obviously very upset, and he was upset with the muezzin, and he told the muezzin, why did you tell me? I didn't want to lead Salah. You told me to lead, so I led. And the muezzin said, I have not made any mistake. He said, I have followed the tartib of the Sahaba. And tartib of Sahaba is, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not there, we ask Abu Bakr. When Abu Bakr is not there, we ask Umar. So he said, Abu Bakr is not there, I asked you. He said, I have not made any mistake. But the issue here is, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam insisted that Abu Bakr Siddiq must lead Salah. And this was the key point that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used when the Sahaba were making mashwara as to who should be the Imam, who should be the Khalifa. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, which one of you will accept that he should be the Imam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should be praying behind him, should be the Ma'mur? And they said, Ya'adhu Billah, they said, A'udhu Billah, may Allah protect us from this. No, none of us. We do not accept this, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu must pray behind us. So he said, then Sayyidina Umar put his hand forward and he said to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, put out your hand, I will give you him bayah. And people started giving him bayah. So the key point was that he was the person who led Salah. And that is the reason why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the example of Ihsan also with Salah. But it is not to be restricted to Salah alone. It is Salah, of course, but it is not to be restricted to Salah alone. So pray as if you see Allah pray. Deal with people as if you see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala as a witness right there. Because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is a witness. Even if you don't see Him, He is there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, if there are two, I am the third. If there are three, I am the fourth. In the surah that we read in Suratul Mulk, Mulk, which we read in Fajr, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, وَأَسِرُّ قَوْلَكُمَ بِجْهَرُ بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Whether you say something silently or in your heart or loudly, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is aware of this. And Allah knows what is inside your hearts. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is aware. So Ihsan is to not only do Salah as if you can see Allah, but all your dealings as if you can see Allah. You deal with your parents, you deal with your children, you deal with your spouses, you deal with your schools, your colleges, your employers, employees, every single thing as if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is present and visible, and as if we can see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is the point of Ihsan. The reason I brought in Six Sigma is because this is also what we practice in quality. And when you look at quality, we're talking about Six Sigma, but really the aim is zero defect. Is no defect at all. Now, just to give you an example of what the Six Sigma quality parameter is, if I tell you that I have a product which is 99% good, right? I'm making some things, I'm making, say, for example, aircraft engines, and we have 99% success. Would you say it's a good business or a bad business? 99% is good, right? But 99% is one mistake per 100. And that translates to 10,000 mistakes per million. 10,000 mistakes per million. 1 million is 10 lakhs. Now imagine that quality standard when you are flying in a plane 30,000 feet in the air. 10,000 mistakes per million. I mean, you don't want to fly in a plane like that. Six Sigma is 3.4 mistakes per million. So that is the difference between, and zero defect is, of course, obviously no defect. Now, Ihsan is zero defect. Ihsan is not even Six Sigma level. it's even better than that. And the reason I'm saying that zero defect is because, as I mentioned earlier, the whole concept of quality assurance is that you cannot measure good, but you can measure defect. If you say something is good, how good is good? You can't measure that. But you can say this has no defects, or this has one defect in a million. Then you know that, you know the level of good. So you can measure defects. If you say to somebody, this person is very healthy, what is the meaning of very healthy? So very healthy, how will you describe very healthy? You are necessarily forced to describe very healthy in terms of disease. You have to say he has no heart problems, he has no diabetes, he has nothing is wrong with his brain, nothing is wrong with his knees and this and that. So you are talking about mistakes all the time. He doesn't have this mistake, doesn't have that mistake, doesn't have that. So we can measure mistakes, we can't measure goodness. And that's the reason why we need to look at our lives and say that what are the mistakes that I am making? What are the mistakes in my ikhlas, in my niyyah, because that's where it starts from. Then what are the mistakes in my amal, whatever I'm practicing. So if I'm doing wudu, what are the mistakes in wudu? If I'm making salah, what are the mistakes in salah? If I'm doing my dealings, my studies, my work, what are the mistakes? Measure the mistakes and ensure that we come to a point of zero defect. And that is the whole concept of ihsan. Ihsan is zero defect. Bring our lives to a point of zero defects. And that's why I said yesterday, the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help are with people of ihsan and not with people whose lives are full of defects, full of sins, full of rebellion, full of trying to find loopholes to escape from. No. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help are for people with lives of zero defect. People's lives of ihsan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ Allah said He is with the people of ihsan. And that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become people of ihsan and to be pleased with us and make it easy for us. وَصَلَى اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ